Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And yes, nobody knows what's going on in the Hartford business community better than Greg Bordonero, the Hartford Business Journal editor. Good morning to you, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Look, they say summer's supposed to be slow. It doesn't seem like it's slow. So let's hop in. Connecticut employers just posted a record high in private sector jobs, but the labor force itself is shrinking. What do you make of this?
Yeah, you know, Connecticut has an aging population. That's been a key driver of it. As people retire, employers, particularly we've seen it in manufacturing, have been slow to find workers to replace aging workers. So I think that's a key. I think that's a key part of Connecticut is still adding jobs. Employers still have a lot of open jobs. It's been hitting, manufacturing, but, it's hitting a lot of different industries. Connecticut's aging population and then, population growth. Connecticut has experienced a bit of a population growth in recent years post-COVID from, New Yorkers crossing the state lines. Overall, though, the trend lines over the last few decades has been Connecticut's also losing population. Obviously, we don't have a lot of housing right now. There's still a housing shortage, so it's tough to bring in new people to the state. So that's also a factor. But, Connecticut is a graying population. I think I did a stat last week about 24% of our population now is 65 and older compared to like 10% just like 10 years ago. So, the aging workforce is occurring. And, we've got to find more ways to keep our college graduates who graduate from our good colleges in Connecticut. How do we keep them here, prevent them from going to, say, Boston or New York City? I think that's a key part of the equation.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. All right, moving on. You've been covering how tariffs could drag Connecticut companies into court. Which industries are getting hit the hardest, and why should we care about that?
Tariffs have mostly hit manufacturing. Obviously, Connecticut's a big manufacturing base with aerospace, defense. Electric boat has been expanding. So aerospace has really been the industry that's been hit. But, there's other manufacturers. We have furniture manufacturers in Connecticut like Ethan Allen. They've been hit. Those companies have been hit. Obviously, a few weeks ago, we've been seeing more Connecticut companies get tariff refunds after the Supreme Court struck down a majority of Trump tariffs in February. There's been a process to get refunds from these tariffs, and Connecticut companies have been lining up. Stanley Black & Decker, a lot of the big manufacturers, have been getting millions of dollars in tariff refunds through the refund process that was set up after the Supreme Court's decision. So, but there are other tariffs still in effect, and I know President Trump is talked about, instituting even more tariffs. He's continuing to change rates, tariff rates on different countries, depending on, whatever situation he sees is going against the U.S. So tariffs are still a big problem for companies. They really don't know how to navigate it because they don't know sort of what's coming next is the biggest issue.
Right. It's that uncertainty. You guys have been covering a couple stories that I found quite interesting, and I wanted to ask you about. The first is electric boat expanding in Groton. How much of a ripple effect is that having across the rest of the state's economy?
Yeah, electric boat just got a big $76 billion contract. It was basically expected they would get that funding because it's part of this buildup of the submarines, Virginia class and Columbia class submarines. This year they were projecting to hire 8,000 people. They've got a lot of open positions. They're expanding their real estate footprint. They bought Crystal Mall. They're doing work on that, convert that to almost a second headquarters where there'll be tech jobs there. And so there's a big ramp up there. It's leading to housing, more demand for housing in the Groton area. There's developers that are going to that area because they see opportunity. So it's a major ripple effect. And of course they have, I forget the number, but it's over 100 suppliers in Connecticut too. So, that's the ripple effect of these big manufacturers, like the electric boats, the Pratt & Whitney's, the Sikorsky's. They're not important just in and unto themselves, but all the suppliers, the hundreds of suppliers across Connecticut that feed into these systems. So it's really a big boom for Connecticut. And, manufacturing is still struggling to find jobs, but it's been a key driver of the overall Connecticut economy because as these manufacturers manufacturers have been unable to find workers. They've been, you know, doing more with technology, robotics, and things like that to make up for that. So manufacturing has been a strong growth area for Connecticut in terms of output, not necessarily job creation.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, it's that ripple effect among, you know, suppliers, distributors, et cetera, et cetera. This is a sentence I never thought I would say, which is private equity is apparently buying up Connecticut campgrounds. Why are investors suddenly kind of circling that corner of our economy?
You know, private equity has been circling a lot of corners of the economy. They've looked at campgrounds for a few reasons in recent years. A lot of them are family owned; they're smaller entities. So you know, anywhere where there's a lot of family owned businesses, private equity tends to lurk there because they could consolidate them, buy up a lot of them, and then they have one sort of CEO overseeing all the campgrounds, or one back office, or one IT department overseeing all these different businesses. So anywhere where there's a large number of family businesses and they see an effort to consolidate that, there's an opportunity for private equity to come in and try to buy up all these companies and consolidate them, essentially.
And what are you following this week, Greg, that we should know about, that the listeners should know about? What are we going to see in the Hartford Business Journal? Give us an idea.
Yeah, so, you know, we just have been...
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Doing some reporting on the new Hartford Innovation Center. $20 million the state's going to be injecting into it. It's part of the $100 million Innovation Clusters program. There was a lot of expectations, and this is going to be sort of an AI center, not a data center, an AI center where companies, businesses, and workers could go and learn about AI and how to introduce it into their organizations. It has a lot of corporate support, the big insurers, the Hartford, Travelers, Hartford Healthcare. They're all on board with this, putting in funding, and also they're going to be part of it. This was announced last week. There was a lot of talk about this going into a spot where they're knocking down a data center. They were going to build a new building for this innovation center. The news that we got last week with this announcement is that it's going to be in State House Square, which is a major office complex in downtown Hartford. And they're going to take about 100,000 square feet in that building. I personally think it's a good change in the plan because Hartford still has a lot of available office space. And rather than building a new building, which would be more costly, they're going to fit out currently vacant office space and lower the vacancy rate in downtown. So I think it's a good move in terms of how the state's using state funding there.
Yeah, for sure. I think you bring up a really good point. When you look overall at the economic state of Connecticut, is there a story that people aren't paying enough attention to? And if so, you know, what would it be, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, Connecticut's coming off a year in which our overall economic growth was pretty strong nationally. You know, we were in the, I think for the third quarter of 2025, we were in the top 10 in growth. I think we were actually ranked number 4. And we were in the top 25 for the entire year of 2025. So, you know, Connecticut is coming off a kind of a strong year last year, again, led by these big defense contracts, which has been a key driver of it, frankly, you know, the electric boats of the world. Even, you know, aerospace is hot right now, both commercial and defense. So that really is a bright spot in the economy. You know, of course, we have our normal headwinds. You know, aging population and high costs and high taxes. So, you know, how can Connecticut, especially, you know, with an important gubernatorial election coming up and then a full legislative session next year, you know, how can Connecticut maintain that momentum, increase investment in the state to capitalize really on this, really lots of federal defense money coming into Connecticut?
And before we let you go real quick, and the answer can be no, but we've talked a lot this morning about flock cameras in Connecticut. Is there a business angle to that story that you guys are looking at or have looked at? And if the answer is no, then the answer is no. But we've talked a lot about flock cameras this morning.
Not really. We haven't really did too much of a deep dive on it. But yeah, maybe we will as this becomes a much more popular topic.
Great. He is Greg Bordonero, editor of the Hartford Business Journal. Greg, as always, very enlightening. You guys are always covering all of the hot issues going on in the business world and beyond in Connecticut, and we appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.